Good morning. During this season of Epiphany, it's customary to see what Jesus can do in demonstration of who He is, the Lord God with all power. I'd like to do that today in the form of a gospel text from Mark chapter 6. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and He was alone on the land. Then He saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night He came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw Him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw Him and were troubled. But immediately He talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then He went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. Does it ever seem like Jesus is far away? Like one of those famous people, somebody you read about and pay attention to, but never actually meet or get to relate to up close in person? I ask the question today because sometimes we act like Jesus is not around. I think of a father tucking his four-year-old into bed. He goes to the door to turn out the light. This child, like many others the same age, was scared of the dark. So in the attempt to comfort, he says, "You know you can pray to Jesus when you're afraid." Well, that four-year-old had this response, "Daddy, I can't see Him. I can't see Him." When Jesus remains out of our sight, it does pose a challenge to hearts and minds, still prone to fears, perhaps more reasonable, but there nonetheless. And yet that is what our faith will constantly involve. Trusting someone you can't see right now. Our problem with trusting in Jesus from day to day is not really a vision thing. It's more of a memory problem. We forget what the Savior is like, and we forget what He has told us about Himself. Thankfully, the Word of God is an excellent remedy to readjust our spiritual focus and clear up the eyes of our faith so that we do recognize Jesus here with us, ready and willing to help, regardless of the circumstances. Now back to our text. Can you identify what you have in common with those disciples? You have your own struggles in life, as did they. You're in the position of learning from Jesus and following Him like they did. And you need the Savior's help more than you realize, like they did. Imagine those men on the water, rowing, facing a boisterous wind at 3 a.m. in the morning. It sounds dangerous to me. No outboard motor to get to the shore quickly. No life vests if someone fell overboard. No radio to call for help. But then help arrives in the form of their Lord, who comes right to them with all the power to keep them safe. Should we expect the same? Let's think about that. How do we live our lives? Independently? Are you doing everything for yourself? No, you rely on certain people. Parents, teachers, doctors, dentists, mechanics maybe, sometimes the police, fire departments, trained professionals who make our lives healthier and safer. Remember something about human helpers though, they have limits, they get tired, they can't work 24/7, they have to punch out and someone else take over the job. They make mistakes, they don't know everything, and sometimes our problem is beyond their expertise. Now at that moment, I hope you can remember what the Savior is like, the one who never tires, never takes a break, never makes a mistake, never fails to be there, and to get us through the problem, the danger. If there's any doubt about this, go to the text, go to this example of which there are many. Jesus saw them struggling. He came right to them, walking on the water, and gave them a powerful display that He is bigger than the law of gravity, stronger than the forces of nature. He made that wind stop instantly, controlled the situation, ended the danger. How do we translate that into our own circumstances? Are we invincible as far as physical harm is concerned? We do see harm, pain, the tragedy in Haiti with the earthquake. I'm thinking all of us here can think of one person, maybe more, a believer, who got into an accident, got very sick, even died. Did Jesus let that person down? Well, let's remember what He said about Himself in relation to us. He promised He will always be with us, no matter what the circumstances are. He said that everything works out for the good of those who love God, those who believe in Christ. He even promised to fix it, to fix all the damages brought on by the curse of sin. And that even includes doing permanently what He did temporarily on the Sea of Galilee. No more earthquakes, or deadly storms, or dangerously cold wind chill. He's going to stop that. He will even fix us, though it takes a miracle to bring us back from the grave and restore you and me to perfect shape, even better than we are or will be or were in the prime of our lives. Imagine that. If we need any more assurance about this, let's not forget the cross and the empty tomb of Christ. Your Lord has already conquered the greatest danger, the biggest form of trouble we all face. Don't forget that your sins, my sins, have plenty of weight to sink the boat into hell. Well, Jesus came and fixed that problem decisively by His own sacrifice, His own suffering and dying on the cross, followed by His own resurrection, a guarantee of your victory, mine too. Our pop culture today has had a long fascination with superheroes. You can tell by all the movies made, which of course are fictional. The Bible, unlike a Fantastic Four comic book, shows you the only real life superhero that the world will ever need. He is the God from heaven who lived as man on earth. It happened. He is the God-man who did the impossible for us. It happened. He is the God-man who still works behind the scenes, doing things for us that we don't even realize, perhaps even the miraculous, and who definitely helps us through His Word. Your superhero wants you to call on Him for help. Trust what He did for you. Trust what He tells you. Hang on to these words that echo out to you and me. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid, He said. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, He said. Amen. We close our worship today, hymn 426, the first two stanzas of hymn 426.